sorry. Go ahead, Joel.
Very good. Thank you for talking to us today. So a couple things. So Melanie is doing a sponsorship with Leadership of North Carolina, and it's a, I don't know how you would best describe it, it's kind of like a volunteer position, and so we want to try to figure out the very best way to leverage her position with Leadership North Carolina to eventually get business with Bro. I mean, that's not the initial reason that she's doing it, but, you know, there's several, I guess, movers and shakers throughout North Carolina that are on this roster, okay? So we want, that's one of the things that we want you to speak to or talk about a little bit. So that's the first thing. And Melanie, I think she's on the call right now, so she might have some things to add to that. And then the second thing is we want to just kind of talk to you about the best way to follow up with COIs. Specifically, how you know, is there a hard and fast rule as far as, like, if we keep referring clients to a COI and they don't refer clients back, what's the best way to go about, I guess, you know, kind of giving them the ultimatum of, you know, in a very professional way, hey, we need to see some reciprocity here or else. Okay, so those are some of the things that we're kind of, you know, from a high level kind of trying to strategize and think about. So I thought I'd just kind of throw those out there before, as we get started on this call today.
I'm glad you have, Joel. It's almost like you were looking over my shoulder as I prepared for this. A lot of the stuff that you've brought up is on my outline. Let's start. Melanie, anything you want to add? I know you're on mute now, but if you could unmute, anything you want to add to the Leadership North Carolina that Joel's just brought up?
Well, thanks. Joel, Rob and I had a chance to talk last week, and I explained to him a little bit about Leadership North Carolina and, you know, just our setting expectations for our activities, and we also talked, you know, about centers of influence and all that. So I think we're on the same page, and so I don't have anything else to add.
Joel, I had one of my FAs go through Leadership Nashville. Guys, this is going back 15, 20 years ago. And I called her just to ask her experience and what she would have done differently. She did not follow up very well with the individuals. She made that clear. If she had to do it again, she would position her goal, not her only goal, but her primary goal would be to develop centers of influence, people who knew her, knew what she could do, were in a position to refer to her. It's always, and this is part of the conversation I had with Melanie, is it's pretty easy, and you've probably experienced it yourself, when you're at some Boy Scouts, whatever, you can tell the people who are there to hand out their business cards, and the people are there, you can tell the people who are there because they believe in the organization. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Yeah, and you never want to come across as a person who's just there to pass out business cards. You get an opportunity to be with some really influential people. And the number one goal is to make sure, you want to be a leader within the leadership, volunteer for things that you could volunteer for. You want to be in a leadership position. Melanie shared with me, and my FA shared with me, there are retreats where you're with influential people in with here with in small groups. So any kind of leadership position you can have is important. And again, the most important thing you can do is make sure that people understand what it is that your team does. You've got a strong brand. You got CFPs. You got designations. That sets you apart from other people. Now, so the leadership, North Carolina, big opportunity, requires some patience. In my outline, if I get time today, I was going to talk about, we teach different acquisition strategies, and some are more short-term, some are more long-term. This is a long-term, if you do it correctly, if Melanie does it correctly, which is, again, getting in leadership positions and making sure that when the proper time is there to talk about what she does, that she gets that done, that could lead to some substantial business. But I don't want to put...
Hey, Rob, you're breaking up.
Now, Joe, let me follow up on your question about centers of influence. We are big believers in you've got to give before you get. And this will tie into something a little later. Our rule of thumb is if you've given 3 referrals and haven't gotten anything back, a bell should ring in your head saying, I need to address this if it's appropriate. And here's the way that we suggest that you have that conversation. Pretend you've given a CPA 3 referrals. The clients really like the CPA. But you're not getting anything back. And here's the conversation. Let's say the CPA's name is Sarah. I'll just make it up. Sarah, I have referred 3 people to you, and I want to tell you they're very, very happy. One of the things that I do when I put a client together with a referral is I follow up to make sure it's a good fit. And I'm pleased to tell you, Sarah, that they're really, really happy with what you do. In doing that review, I also noticed that you have not referred back to us. Is there anything that I have done or possibly not done that's made you reluctant to refer to Morgan Stanley? You get it, Joel?
Yeah, I'm just writing it down. Yeah.
Yeah. That's an uncomfortable conversation if you're going in and your words sound like, hey, I've given you 3 referrals, wake up, what's going on? What you're doing is you're putting the burden on yourself. Is there anything that I have done or possibly not done that has made you reluctant to refer to me or to Morgan Stanley, however you want to phrase it? Do you see that? You're putting the burden on yourself, not on the referral source.
Right, right.
Now, after you ask that question, you remain quiet. And who knows what kind of answer you get. Gosh, Joel, I never thought about it. I didn't realize it. I'll be more observant, so on and so forth. And I think I shared this with you all. If I did, I apologize for saying it again. A UBS guy down in Atlanta had given a CPA, no, it was an estate planning attorney, 47 referrals, and she had not referred back to him. Now, this is the most extreme example I've ever experienced. He went back to her and asked that question, and she says, oh, I give all my referrals to Goldman Sachs. Now, I'm not making that stuff up. The number one reason that you'll refer one of your people, let's just say with a CPA, is you know they'll do a good job. You're not going to refer anybody to a CPA who doesn't do good work just because they refer to you, right?
Right.
So this is a, you got to make sure that the CPA is doing a good job. You have the conversation, and if they don't come through, then you want to have other people that you know will do a good job to refer to. I'm not saying you cut the CPA Sarah off in this example immediately, but you want to make sure you're developing other sources to refer to. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. It does. And this is something that we kind of talked about in one of our meetings, I think, a week or two ago, is that, you know, we do understand it takes time. We understand that, you know, forming the road team is taking some time. We've given a lot of referrals and introductions to not just one, but two or three different CPAs and attorneys. And, you know, we're starting to, Katie's tracking this. So as we give introductions, we let Katie know, she's tracking the names that we're sending out. I know, Tim sent some out to some people. I know Melanie sent some out, and I have as well. Katie just said we referred to seven different ones. To this point, today, I don't think we've received one introduction or referral from any COI since we formed the team in February. Now, I'm not saying we should. I'm just saying these are the results. So, one of our things to think about next year is, you know, we need to start putting, you know, dollars and cents, because this business runs on production. So we got to figure out a way to make that work.
That's the way ultimately you keep score, is production. I get that and agree with it. Are you talking mainly about, when you're talking about COIs, are you talking about CPAs?
CPAs and attorneys.
Okay. Well, here's the key question. These people that you're referring to, do they know what you do? Do they know about the team, all the structure, everything that you all offer?
I would say I would say we've met with them. We've had an initial meeting with them, probably, you know, lunch. One of the attorneys, we went over to their office right around the corner from us and had a meeting with them in the spring. In all, you know, in hindsight, we've been so busy as a team getting the Rogue Group and Supernova and the marketing and things like that, that we haven't had a deliberate follow-up with them to kind of keep dripping on them and enhancing their knowledge of what our team does. So that's probably something that we need to kind of focus on next year is, you know, cultivating the COIs, letting them really understand what our team does. Because one lunch meeting doesn't really cut it, right? I mean, that's just an introduction. And part of this is us trying to figure out which COIs we're going to use, because I've got my list, Melanie has her list, and Tim has his list. So we're trying to screen through that list. And it takes time. So I would say there's definitely, the long and short is that no, they can't probably verbally summarize exactly what we do, but I think that they know more now than they did when we started in February.
I think you hit on something really important, Joel. We hit on a couple of things. At the end of the last call, here's what I wrote, our last call together. Great call. They're doing great things. That's what I wrote at the bottom. You've put together a team. You've had to put together a little different service model because of the folks that you have to keep in the team. I think you've done a lot of things. And this business attracts people who are looking for immediate gratification. Do you agree with that?
Correct.
And it's good to want to be successful, to be aggressive in growing a practice, but any strength taken to excess becomes a weakness. You want to grow. I want to see that kind of drive and high expectations. but taken to the extreme, you give off a scent that a different scent from what you want to give to prospective clients. Now, let me talk a little bit about, you've mentioned attorneys. Have those attorneys seen the team's practice overview?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say they have, yes.
We have a folder that we give them when we meet them.
Okay, good. How do you, here's something you might want to think about as you're talking to attorneys. You know that anytime an attorney or a CPA gives a referral to you, Joel, that they're taking a risk. You understand that.
Sure.
Because you could blow up a good relationship of theirs, not just you. I'm just talking about in general. So they have to have a lot of confidence. They got, if they understand what you do, and you all do a lot, you take some of the risk out of their them referring to you. Now, let's talk about how you can refer to them. Again, talking about given before you get. I did estate planning in three different states with really good attorneys. Never once did one of them follow up and see if I had followed through on the things they asked me to do. Who's going to see a change in a client's life that would require a new will, a codicil, whatever? Who's going to see that first, you or the attorney?
We will.
And what do you – so that's because you're talking to your clients on a regular basis. So part of your talking with a estate planning attorney is that because you talk to your clients on a regular basis, you see changes in clients' lives that would require documents. With the client's permission, you bring that information, you bring that need back to the estate planning attorney. So if they refer to you, because you are talking to those clients on a regular basis, you might have the opportunity to bring business back to them. Do you get that?
Yes.
And it's much different from that mentality that sometimes FAs, you refer to me, I'll refer to you. Well, you know, that's okay. But it's much nicer to say, again, advertising your brand, I talk to my clients on a regularly scheduled basis. When I see changes that could require documents to be redrawn or codicils or whatever, with the client's permission, I bring that information back to you. I just think I think it's a strong statement to make. Agreed?
Thank you.
Okay. Say it again.
I said thank you for that.
Oh, okay. Now, let's talk about how you can get more referrals. We've talked about this before. As one of my mentors said, you never can say the right thing too many times. If you are asking the enthusiastically endorsed question of all your clients, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Can you enthusiastically endorse your estate planning attorney? You are going to get opportunities to get referrals. And again, I don't know if I shared this story with you. One of your folks up in Boston started asking that question, and he was able to get 5 referrals for one of his CPAs. He said, that's more referrals than I've given, had to give. He said, he said 5 years, 10 years. I forget what the number was. So do you understand the power, Joel, of that enthusiastically endorsed question?
Yes.
Can you, and again, when you ask that question, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Let's stick there. The client is might draw a blank and say, I don't understand your question. And then you, Joel, have to be able to describe what an enthusiastically endorsed CPA does. Returns calls to get the work done on time, is proactive, looks for ways to reduce taxes, returns calls, returns emails, all of those things. So when you say that's what an enthusiastically endorsed CPA does, and the client says, I'm not getting that, you have the opportunity to bring somebody else into the, to refer somebody. Now, let's say you've got a referral to give a CPA, if you can put the meeting together, if this client says, yeah, I'd like to talk to somebody else, if you could put that meeting together at the CPA's office, at your office, wherever the three of you meet, do you see how you attach yourself to that client in the CPA's eyes?
Yes.
Okay. So when's the last time you asked the enthusiastically endorsed question?
Well, probably haven't, because I'm only speaking for me, but I'm onboarding all the people in July and August and September, so we're just now setting up all of our calls for October. So that's going to be definitely one of the things that we're going to be doing in the fourth quarter of this year. It's starting to go back through the enthusiastically endorsed questions and the folder system and doing the quarterly calls with clients. This is
Joe, the first page of the folder where it's the critical client information, there are two boxes. And one is asking who their CPA is, and the other is asking about their estate planning attorney. And there's a place to circle whether you have had the enthusiastically endorsed conversation with them. So the enthusiastically endorsed gives you wonderful opportunities to give before you get. And going back to asking that question, you're not going to get asked this, but just so you have this feeling in your, as you ask the question, if a client would say, well, Joe, why are you asking me that question? Why are you asking if I can enthusiastically endorse my CPA? Your response is, and I know I've said this to you before, one of the things that we do is make sure our clients have the very best professional help away from the things that we do for them. I mean, there's really a righteous reason to be asking that question. Oh, I understand. Yeah, I can really endorse. I love my CPA. She does all those things plus others. Your response, terrific. I'm glad to hear that. One of the things we do is to make sure our clients have the very best professional help away from the things that we do for them. I work with CPAs in the Raleigh area. I like to think I know the good ones. May I call your CPA, introduce myself, and have them explain how they run their practice, however you want to say that. And now you've got an opportunity to get in front of another CPA. You got all that?
Yeah.
Okay. Joel, you all have done a marvelous job in putting this team together with all the hair that was on having to keep those relationships. I love your lack of patience, but the patience will pay off.
I'm not impatient. I'm just direct. There's a difference.
There is no question. I'm with you 100%. All right, let me cover any questions up to this point. All right.
Hey Rob, I'm gonna have to exit the meeting. I have a client appointment at 10:30, so.
That's fine. Thanks.
Okay.
Hey Joel.
Rob. May I suggest one thing? I just gotta leave at 10:30. Tim's on the call, and Melanie's driving. So. Is it possible we can save this for the next call?
Absolutely.
Because you were basically down to two or three people in the office right now. So
I got you. I can I'll push it forward to November.
Thank you.
Sounds great. Thank you. This is good information.
All right. Thanks, Joel.
Have a good month. Talk to you soon.
You bet.